Hello and welcome to the Nurses for Healthy Environments podcast. I am Beth Shank, long-term host of the podcast, with guest hosts Dr. Heidi Honegger-Rogers and Dr. Heidi Segan. Today they interview Dr. Linda O'Kelly, a researcher in environmental harm from toxic exposures and a practicing NICU nurse. Enjoy!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Alliance of Nurses for Healthy Environments podcast. I'm Heidi Honegger-Rogers from the University of New Mexico, coming in to meet you all here in this space with my colleague and friend, Heidi Segan.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for the kind introduction, Heidi. Again, my name's Heidi Segan, and I am out of Rush University in Chicago, and I'm super excited because today we are going to be talking with Dr. Linda O'Kelly, and I know her because she got her PhD at Rush University. So Dr. O'Kelly, her research is super interesting. She focuses on the health impacts of toxic environmental exposures and uses large data sets to link biomarkers of exposure with measurable health outcomes. She is passionate about advocacy and protecting the environment and serves on the board and executive committee of the Illinois Clinicians for Climate Action. So we're gonna hear more about that later. But in addition to her research and advocacy efforts, she's also a NICU nurse in Evanston, Illinois. So I know this is just a short bio, so I'd like to welcome Dr. O'Kelly. And Dr. O'Kelly, anything else you'd like to say to introduce yourself?
Hi, thank you for having me. I think that introduction was very good. So yes, I am a longtime NICU nurse. I have served a community around Evanston, Illinois for more than 15 years. And it was my experiences in the NICU that kind of drew me to doing environmental health research.
Well, it's fantastic to have you here. Linda, if you could just talk to us a little bit about, you know, yourself and your nursing background. Like, tell us your story, your nursing story.
So I live in Lake County, Illinois, and I serve a NICU in Cook County, Illinois. And it all started with a Chicago Tribune article, which is a local regional paper. There was an article that described a situation in Willowbrook, Illinois, where there was found to be a chemical facility that was emitting a chemical into the air. And while it had been followed for decades by the EPA had recently learned that it was more pervasive and toxic than previously recognized. And they were measuring health outcomes in the surrounding community, and there was a lot of alarm. I remember reading the article and thinking how uncomfortable that was, and that I was grateful to be so far away from that. In subsequent articles, they found that there were additional facilities, including two in Lake County, Illinois, where I live and where I serve my patient population. So unlike the first facility, which promptly closed, it was in a very affluent community. The community I served still remains open to this day. At this time, I was still formulating my research question. I knew I wanted to pursue my PhD in nursing. So I decided to take this project as a nurse in this community, as a community member, to try to investigate the community level effects of ethylene oxide gas exposure.
Oh my gosh, that sounds like a huge project and a really, and something that is making a huge impact on the health and well-being in your community. Can you talk to us a little bit about, like, just for folks who don't know, what is ethylene oxide? Where does it come from? How is it, like, can you teach us a little bit more about that?
Sure. So it is a chemical that's widely used in the chemical industry. It has multiple purposes. So it's used in the production of textiles, plastics, antifreeze. It's also used to sterilize medical equipment. It's a very potent fumigant. And it is used frequently for medical equipment because it does not compromise the integrity of medical devices, especially plastics. If you were to heat plastic with high heat, like another sterilization method, you would have medical devices that would melt. So this is very potent. It works very well. It does not compromise the integrity of medical devices. However, they are finding, the EPA has released reports that it is toxic. They've been following occupational level exposure for decades. So those workers who work inside these chemical facilities, but we just recently learned that those who live surrounding those facilities are at risk as well.
Wow, thanks, Linda, for sharing that. So, can you tell us a little bit then about what are the health impacts of exposure? And as a nurse, what was your experience? Did you see those health impacts in your practice? And what did that really look like?
Sure. So I used this project idea to carry through my dissertation at Rush. And at Rush, we have a three manuscript dissertation. So it was a very stepwise process. So my first manuscript was looking at the literature just to see what the observed effects of exposure were. And then I grouped them based on exposure type, whether it be occupational level exposure, community level exposure, and then hospital level exposure. So for those nurses or physicians handling the medical equipment, as well as patients being treated with that. So the vast majority of articles were related to occupational level exposure, just because that has been tracked for much longer. There's very few articles about community level effects of exposure. So that is kind of where I decided to go into my research. So, me personally, I cannot describe health effects of exposure. It was more the general interest, knowing that I serve patients that are from this community, I live near this community that is exposed, and kind of wanting more information.
Wow, that is, I mean, that was a big project that you set out to do. So you took a look at, sort of where it was in the various levels in your hospital system, and then when you went into your actual system, how did you communicate with people about what you were working on?
So I actually did not look at within the nursing system that I work with. There's not a lot of data. So I looked for the federal government has a continuous large publicly available data set. It's called the NHANES data set. It's the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey. And so they measure hundreds of outcome variables, hundreds of chemical exposures, and they have it on their website, through the CDC, available for researchers.
So, Linda, that is amazing. That sounds like a really big project. And you talked about your first step, just kind of gathering the literature. Can you share with us what came next?
Yes, thank you. So there is not much reported in terms of community level exposure to this chemical. So, as my next step, I went and used the NHANES database or the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey. So, this study is a continuous study performed by the CDC, and it measures hundreds of different chemical exposures, demographics, as well as outcome variables. And so, I was able to access this publicly available data set and look at biomarkers of exposure to ethylene oxide gas, and then see if there was an association between exposure to this chemical and different health outcomes. And I actually have a publication that I am submitting later this week, regarding my findings.
Fantastic. Thank you for sharing. The work that you've described really is a perfect example of the intersection between nursing practice and environmental health. So tell us a little bit about why these types of issues are so important for nurses to care about. Some people will say, "Oh, nurses shouldn't care about environmental health," or why are you doing your research in that? But tell us a little bit about why you think it's so important for nurses to be involved in this type of work.
I think it is so important for nurses to be involved in this work because, first, as I explained in my story, it was my clinical practice that actually informed my research question. If I had not been in this community, serving this community, I wouldn't have been quite as invested in wanting to know the health effects of exposure. And then, second, I am a bedside nurse, a very proud bedside nurse. And I think what makes nurses stand apart is our commitment to advocacy. So I am a very active advocate for my patients at the bedside. And as a researcher, I am also a strong advocate when it comes to environmental exposure. I think it is important for nurses to ask questions and maybe see how they can help their patients in a different way.
Yeah, exactly. Can you talk to us about you mentioned the NHANES study and you and there are some publicly available resources on chemicals and materials that folks are exposed to in healthcare settings that we need to be thinking about. Can you talk to us about how would you guide nurses to understanding what are the problem sets in their own workplaces or communities that they need to be paying attention to?
Sure. I think that would look different depending on the clinical setting that the nurse is active in. I think it's important for nurses just to be present and mindful and maybe observant about what they're noticing in their clinical practice. Are there different health outcomes depending on the demographics, for instance? Is there something that your community is facing that you think is unique to your patient population? And from there, I think it's really easy to develop a research question.
So when you, I guess I have a question about just starting your PhD program and thinking about how does the education world, right? Like how does Rush support you? How do the universities and the PhD programs in nursing help to support this growing community of environmental health, planetary health nurses? What have you seen in terms of getting the support that you needed to do this, and what do you think are the how would you guide folks who are interested in going into a PhD at Rush or any other university?
That's a great question. So first and foremost, my biggest support was my academic advisor, Dr. Barbara Swanson. And so typically when you enter a PhD program, you already have a research question and they fit you with a faculty member who has already studied your research topic of interest. In my case, it was kind of a newer topic and there was not a lot of research faculty experienced in environmental health. But Dr. Swanson, my advisor, liked my idea and she took a chance on me and she helped coach me and guide me to what I needed. So I was very lucky in that respect. I think that the community is growing. It's a small community. I was invited by a member of ANPE to participate in an advocacy day last year. And it was there that I met other like-minded individuals and we connected. And then I was invited to join the ANHE Erie NCS cohort, where I made additional connections. So I think it's a very active community. It's a welcoming community. I think if you're interested, certainly reach out to faculty at Rush as we're kind of starting to grow this environmental health program. And then getting active in the ANHE community as well.
Yeah, so you mentioned the Environmental Health Research Institute for Nurse Clinician Scientists, ERI-NCS. Can you tell us about what you learned when you went? I believe you were in the 2024 cohort, is that right? So last summer. Linda, tell us about your experience with the ERI-NCS community.
Yes. So I was a member of the 2024 cohort. We met outside of Buffalo, New York. And it was important for me because I am very objective with my research. I like to work with data sets. But this opportunity showed me different research methodologies to work with more mixed methods and to be open to expanding research ideas when it comes to environmental health.
Thanks, Linda. Heidi and I were fortunate enough to be a part of that same group a few years prior to you. And I'll tell you, for me, it was incredibly inspirational to be surrounded by other nurses who are doing work in this space. And I'm curious to hear from you. What keeps you going? What motivates you to do this work? And sometimes it can be heavy, hard work to do. So how do you kind of see that line forward and continue to be motivated to stay the course?
Sure. So this issue that I have built my research on is very important to me because I am an active member of the community. So not only do I work as a nurse in a community that is exposed, I live in a community that is exposed. I have children that are growing up in a community that is exposed. And I think moving forward, most people would want to kind of leave the world a little bit in a better place than where you found it. And I think it's just to draw awareness to the fact that there are these environmental exposures. Some are preventable, some are not. But if we could mitigate environmental exposures to make it a little bit safer for the communities we live and work in, I think that's a good goal to have.
Yes, from your words out into the world, for all of the nurses and for all of us. That's yeah, thanks. Thanks, Linda. Can you talk to us about just big picture or th thinking about in your community, what really is your biggest concern right now about the environment and health? And then do you have any suggestions for how to solve what your biggest concerns are?
Yes. So my biggest concern about the environment and health is related to climate change. So a lot of my research looks at chemical exposures, but climate change is another very pressing issue that's something that's marching forward and does have a detrimental health effects for exposed communities. I am working with an additional group. I helped launch a nonprofit in the state of Illinois, the Illinois Clinicians for Climate Action Group. It's a group of interdisciplinary health professionals, a lot of physicians, nurses, respiratory therapists that are interested in educating other healthcare providers and the public and lawmakers about the health effects of climate change. So to me, climate change and environmental exposures, while different, do tend to go hand in hand, because climate change does exacerbate more environmental exposures.
Fantastic. I want to know more about the Illinois Clinicians for Climate Action. So, who's involved? How can we get involved? What are some of the specific types of work that are being done in the community?
Sure. So it is a new nonprofit. We have a website. If you just Google Illinois Clinicians for Climate Action, it's open to any healthcare provider. And we have anything from small projects to big projects. You can do something as simple as sign on to a petition to participate in a hill day where we travel down to Springfield to talk to lawmakers about particular bills. And then we're growing projects. We're trying to coordinate with local communities and other collaborative health agencies and environmental groups to see how we can lend our health perspective voice.
That's terrific. And I know that we are going to see you at the Medical Society's Consortium for Climate and Health meeting, and so you're doing that work with the with folks from other states, right? There's a lot of ways for people to get involved in this kind of work in their own state.
Yes, so there is a larger national consortium, the Medical Consortium for Climate and Health, and then the Illinois group is an offshoot, or a statewide group for that same umbrella. So yes, I'm traveling shortly to attend that national meeting, and I look forward to connecting, with other healthcare professionals. I like this type of work because it is interdisciplinary work. You do have to reach outside of nursing, but it's nice to see nurses and physicians and other health agencies and government groups kind of working together for a solution.
Thanks, Linda. And one thing I've heard you say, probably several times since we've been talking is you've mentioned advocacy and policy. So can you talk to us a little bit about the importance of advocacy and policy work as it relates to environmental health and in our nursing practice?
Sure. So I think advocacy work does come naturally to nurses, especially bedside nurses. You are a patient's advocate. The other thing for nurses to consider when considering doing advocacy work is that nurses are among one of the most respected professions. When you walk into an office to meet with your local representative, state representative, or even federal representative, there is a level of respect. They do want to hear what you have to say, and they are using your voice and your health perspective to help them make decisions about policy.
Yeah, and I've noticed that the Alliance of Nurses for Healthy Environments, the American Lung Association, the medical community are all really good resources for folks as they're getting interested in how do we do more advocacy and make sure that our voices and our worries are paid attention to. Was that a part of any formal training that you've had yet?
No, I've just learned along the way. I like to be active in my community. I volunteer in my capacity serving on the board for Illinois Clinicians for Climate Action. And again, I think it just comes naturally for nurses.
Well, right on. Happy nurses. So I know, Linda, you just finished with your PhD. Can you, and congratulations again. So amazing. Can you talk to us about, in addition to your nonprofit work that you're doing in the state of Illinois, and what's next for you?
I did learn last week that I was lined up as a semi-finalist for the Federal Presidential Management Fellowship. I learned recently last week that the program was cut due to the new administration and budget cuts. And so I am reevaluating the next steps. While I was very motivated to work at the federal level, now I am considering working at the state level to see what I can do in terms of health policy there. I am also considering nursing faculty positions. So it's still very much an evolving process.
Absolutely. And yes, I'm sad and disappointed to hear about the stumbling block for just what your next steps were. That program I know is a really important program for super thoughtful, caring, and very bright people to move into helping communities at the federal level, having, supporting communities at the federal level in things like really building safer environments around exposure to chemicals, which was the is the work that you are currently doing. So we'll just pause to acknowledge that disappointment and then to think about as stuff is shifting, how do we move into the work at the state level? And what is the role that we can take in universities and as community members and in our workplaces to really find our paths forward around the work that we're caring about?
And I certainly plan on leaning more into my position with my nonprofit as well to help bring about those changes.
Wonderful. Yes, sometimes our paths are winding and not that direct route that we sometimes hope them to be. But I can say that I am excited to see what does come next for you, Dr. O'Kelly. I am sure it will be fantastic and wonderful. And all of the folks that you're working with in your nonprofit are lucky to have you on the leadership there. So, with that, I just thank you so much for the time that you've given us today and all of the incredible work that you are doing for patients and communities and our environment. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you to Dr. O'Kelly. Her work is so important as she explores connections between exposures and health impacts in large data sets. Further, her engagement in research, scholarship, and advocacy alongside practicing in NICU is inspiring. And she is a great model for linking these crucial roles in nursing. Thank you, Dr. O'Kelly, for your contributions, and to Drs. Hanukkah Rogers and Segan for interviewing. And thank you all for listening to the Nurses for Healthy Environments podcast, which is 100% non-commercial. Please share with your nursing colleagues, family, and friends. Thank you. Talk to you next time.